We call this time of the week life and other catastrophes. All those things that blindside you, make you question why and how you are doing the things that you are doing. Here, as my co-pilot, is Professor Jane Fisher. She's the Jean Hales Professor of Women's Mental Health at Monash University. Jane, hello.
Hello, Raf.
Now, we do want to hear from people. You know, everyone's had one. Everyone's worked with somebody who just drives you nuts. They burrow deep into your personality, your psychology. They are the person who you dread to come to work with. Now, fortunately, I've worked in a few different places, not just at the ABC and in a few different cities. I do want to relate this experience, see if anybody can relate to it. Journalism is often you often work in very small groups of people. I was working in a small group with a manager, and this person basically shot down every idea that my colleague and I had on a very regular basis. So it very much got to the point where I was afraid. I was actually afraid to speak up in my workplace. So there you go. For someone who's talking on the radio 3 days a week, I was actually afraid to say my mind. And it actually got to the point where I walked away from a discussion and kicked a glass door at work, and that glass door shattered, like big glass door shattered. It was the real glass that doesn't break into triangles but breaks into a million pieces. And the other supervisor at work very calmly and quietly just rang up and said, "Oh, listen, small problem here. We've just smashed into one of the glass doors with the table. Do you mind just coming to fix that up?" And that was because the supervisor appreciated that my colleague was really the sort of person who managed to get into my mind and really totally fundamentally changed the way that I viewed my working day. So I'd love to hear from you if you've got a story like that, and most importantly, how you dealt with it. 1-300-222-774. Jane, anything you take from my example?
Well, I think it illustrates very powerfully what we're talking about today, which is that mistreatment or bullying or harassment at work can really undermine self-confidence in very profound ways. So it's not by any means a light or trivial matter. And when those descriptors are used, often what first comes to mind is the rather graphic descriptions we've had, particularly of apprentices being physically abused in their workplaces. But in fact, what is much more prevalent or widespread is the kind of experience you talk about, where a person with a degree of power, perhaps not a huge amount of power, but a supervisor or a direct line manager, behaves towards you in ways that really undermine your well-being and undermine your confidence. And it's either things like neglecting your ideas, as you've talked about, or being persistently critical, or being silent, refusing to greet you, or by leaving you out.
That one must hurt, actually.
That's pretty awful.
The silent treatment at work, wow.
And that's the one at which women are artists, I'm afraid to say,
right.
Ashamed to say about my own sex. And but it's the really being very quick to criticise and slow to praise, the devaluing of your contribution.
That's a good one, yeah. Quick to criticise and slow to praise. Yeah, that does erode your confidence, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And it certainly does nothing to foster your growth as a contributor or as a worker in your workplace. But in addition to people ringing out with their experiences, I'd be also interested if people could talk about what their workplace actually did about it. Because one of the real problems is workplaces often neglect it.
Can they do anything? Because my personal feeling would be, I suppose with my experience in all the places I've worked, that it's actually more about what I do and how I receive that person's behaviour. I suppose I wouldn't actually be convinced that my workplace could do that much. Have I got that wrong?
Well, I think we do have to do things. I think it sometimes calls upon us to be assertive in ways that are not familiar and that feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But if your workplace doesn't believe you and therefore does nothing to foster a climate in which you feel treated fairly, that ultimately it undoes your well-being.
Yes, that's true.
But it's a problem for a workplace because it definitely reduces productivity.
Yes.
People become dysregulated, as you did, or they become very preoccupied with their own predicament and they're much more concerned to protect themselves than actually get on with the job.
So you're saying that if you're busy protecting yourself rather than getting on with the job, that's not the right strategy, or is that just a What inevitably, that's the inevitable
behaviour.
I think it
makes you less productive. So if you spend your whole time thinking about that awful person down the corridor and I hope she doesn't come past or I hope he doesn't notice what I'm doing, that reduces your ability to concentrate on your work.
What if you just ignore them?
Well, it would be good to do that if they didn't have power. But sometimes these are people who do have power over what you do, what leave you have, what entitlements you have, and certainly on professional progression. And if they're people who are involved in doing your performance appraisals or reporting on you,
that's higher a nightmare, up the hierarchy, isn't it? If they're assessing your job for a pay rise or a continuation in the position,
it can be terrible.
Let's have a word to Andy, who's called from that Fiennes Ford. Hi, Andy. Oh, Andy, I apologise. That's my mistake. You there, Andy?
Yes, I like listening to your program. Listen to it most days.
Just before you begin, Andy, where's Fiennes Ford?
FiennesFord. If you leave Geelong by the Hamilton Highway.
Ah.
You went to Hamilton Highway?
Yep.
And you'll see a pub on your left, and that's Finesford Pub, and that's Finesford. It's a little sort of community. Yeah, it's about 8K from the absolute centre of Geelong.
Okay, no problem. Now I have a rough idea of where it is. I love learning all these places. Tell me your story.
Why are you coming down for dinner with us, are you?
Sure, not a problem. It's always better when someone else cooks, isn't it?
Yeah, well, because you bring the alcohol, that's all we
do. Okay, deal. Right, done.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, I was a teacher, and now I've retired from that and work my own business, but I was in this. About 87% of school teachers in primary schools are female and about 13% male, which I'm just rounding off.
Right.
I worked in a school where there's only one other male teacher myself in the primary school, and you would not believe. You wouldn't have enough time on the air for me to tell you the stuff.
Well, perhaps you could give us a vivid example, Andy, of what happened to you.
Well, go and sit in the staff room. You'd be subjected to sexual innuendo and jokes from females, and you're a married man with children, and so is the other bloke. And if you did that, I mean, if he or I did that, there'd be a report put in. We were always given, rubbish bins need picking. Not that I mind, rubbish bins mind, but rubbish bins put out any rotten yard duty, any kid trouble, parent trouble, nasty parents, yada yada. Give Andy or Sid the job, and in staff room discussions, you were just it was pointed out to you. You know, there'd be all sorts of chauvinistic remarks about, what could you expect from a man, or you know, typical male performance. You know, and there'd be caricatures. Jokes put up on the wall, even in the men's toilet, by the way, against men, you know. And so I got out.
So if you could take a breath for a minute, Andy, then we could respond to this.
And I just want to say, the other bloke had a nervous breakdown. I think he's still in the home, and I've actually retired, got out, and started my own business. Okay, over to you.
Well, these are terrible examples, and I think you point out a very important thing, which is that derogatory gender stereotypes are by no means unidirectional. It's not only those that are held about women, but equally those that are held about men. And the behaviour you describe is undoubtedly abusive and constitutes the harassment that we were talking about. Can you tell us what your workplace did about it, or did you feel there was no avenue that you could follow?
Well, they had a female principal, vice principal, everyone in any sort of authority. What they used to call coordinators in those days were also female in that school. And when we went, the bloke and I went and complained together, all the paperwork was done, all the listening was done, all the nodding and the smiling, but when it came to actually setting fire to the wood or doing anything or firing a bullet, nothing happened, you see. So we learned to just, unfortunately, we stuck together, you see. We become a team. We sat in the staff room together.
But that didn't help, did it, Andy? You really needed someone, I guess, around you or who was supervising you to step in, didn't you?
Yeah, but you see, I know. Look, all the stuff you're saying is true. However, when you're actually there where the rubber meets the road in the workplace, you find the stuff you're saying, and I don't mean this to be offensive, it doesn't matter to who, because they can just do what they like. And the thing is, I'm actually going to left and started my own business because I've never been happier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well done, Andy. I guess you've made the right decision for you. 1-300-222-774. I'd love to hear your stories. Going to get to a whole lot of your text messages. They are flooding in. Would love to hear you on the phone. 1-300-222-774.
Hi, I'm Adam Gilchrist, Chairman of the National Australia Day Council. Would you like a say in who becomes the next Australian of the Year? If you know of someone that's doing great things, why not nominate them? There are four award categories: Young Australian of the Year, Senior Australian of the Year, Australia's Local Hero, and the big one, Australian of the Year. Nominate online at australianoftheyear.org.au. Nominations close on the 31st of August. The Australian of the Year Awards, proudly supported by ABC Local Radio.
You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
A few of your text messages about dealing with those people who just drive you crazy at work and probably actually really compromise your work. What can be done in a workplace that's steeped in cronyism and nepotism? It's a fairly broad statement on the text message. I was bullied at my work, and instead of being open to discussing the concerns I brought forward, the whole organisation went against me. I brought the union in, and my rep was fully prepared to take them to the industrial tribunal. There you go. That's one step, I guess, going to something like the union. Another text: isn't the problem that no one thinks they're a bully? No insight. I'm sure that's part of the problem. And a text from Nicola: I've worked with many difficult personalities. 9 out of 10 have problems outside of work that makes them so reactive. Yet it's hard not to take it personally when you're not aware. That's from Nicola. Jane, would that be part of it? That I mean, clearly, that's what's going on, isn't it? If someone's being really difficult with you at work, something's going on in another part of their life, no?
Yeah, I think both the things Nicola said is true, that undoubtedly if people behave poorly in their interpersonal relationships at work, they probably do more generally as well. But also that lack of self-awareness is a problem in people in positions of power, and they can presume that their worldview is the worldview that other people share. Yeah. You started off by using the term sociopath, and that is a term to describe someone who lacks empathy and lacks any ability to recognise what other people might be feeling or experiencing, and that it's not the same as their experiences. And I think fundamentally, if people are misusing power, it reflects that lack of empathy, that lack of recognition.
So if someone can't feel... I mean, sociopaths is a very strong word, I suppose, to describe someone. But if you feel that the person who's being brutal to you in the workplace has no empathy for you, has no understanding for your situation, does it work to sit them down and say, listen, you're really problematic for me in this workplace because? Is that the right thing to do?
Well, I think it's the right thing to try, and sometimes you can need to muster a fair bit of courage to do it. But one of the helpful things to do is use very specific examples. When you do this, I feel this. When you've done this, it has this effect on me. Because almost invariably people will deny this and they will often seek to blame the victim.
Yes.
And so you've got to be really filled with quite a lot of resolve to see this through. And if you feel intimidated by them, it can be hard to do that on your own.
Yeah.
It can be helpful to try and bring someone in.
But that's the most difficult thing to do, isn't it? Because you're feeling you've got low self-esteem. You're not feeling strong in your arguments. So it's actually the most difficult step to take, isn't it?
And the other thing is that I think one of the things that can happen in these workplaces is there is an in-crowd and an out-crowd.
Yes.
And often managers of this kind surround themselves with acolytes who tend to defer to them, adore them. And it's anybody who takes a more independent position who becomes a target of hostility.
And you kind of need the independent, strong arbiter. And I suppose for some people that's the union. For other people it might be the older, more experienced, more secure worker in the workplace. I'm not sure what the answer is. Let's have a quick word with Linda, who's called in from Frankston. Hi there, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Yes, look, I'm interested in telling about an incident that I had, or a workplace that I worked in. Way back in 2000, it would have been, and what happened was that I came there as sort of like the new kid on the block, and thought I would get some guidance in what my duties were.
Yeah.
Didn't get that, but when I asked, I was made to feel as though I should instantly know what to do in that workplace. Mm. The females in the workplace were. They'd been there many years, 21 years and 19 or something.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I was just listening to that comment you made about being a strong character and, you know, not being an acolyte and following others type of thing. And I tend to be like that. But I also I'm very friendly and civil as well, never rude. And the thing is, they gave me a really hard time. Now, it was a good mix of male and female there, but the males were reluctant to stand up and sort of say, you know, this is enough. But they knew it was going on.
And why do you think the male-female thing is worth mentioning? I'm unclear. What's going on there, Linda?
The previous guy that I was listening to, he said that...
That was Andy.
There was only a couple of males in the environment,
right.
Mainly females. And I heard him make the comment that, because I was ringing at the time when
sure,
he was talking.
Sure, I understand.
And what I did hear him say was that, you know, it's just a male type of thing, was a comment that you made. I heard that, and then I switched the radio down.
Sure.
However, but the important thing was that the males in the workplace, and we're talking about the managing director, was probably very aware of what was going on, but didn't do anything about it because he was comfortable with these females there. And in fact, I took counselling because I felt I had no idea what I had done, and I took counselling and I said to the counsellor, I've no idea what I've done. I'm fairly strong. I can do my work and I'm strong in what I do. But they intimidated me to such a degree that I began to lose confidence.
Yeah. I think that illustrates exactly what can happen, Linda.
Yes.
And hopefully the counselling assisted you to be able to be a little bit more direct about your feelings. One of the problems, I think, and this might have applied in your workplace, is that people who behave like this can benefit organisations in other ways. Perhaps they can be seen as... somewhat decisive and able to make things happen, get results, the things we hear about in productive workplaces. So sometimes more senior managers are not so keen to call this behaviour and make changes. But ultimately it's costly. And we know that this is one of the main reasons why ultimately there's a big turnover of staff. People leave their jobs when they feel treated in this way.
Yes.
But Linda, counselling helped?
Yes. Actually, the counsellor was marvellous. She said to me, don't ever change. She said, you're not the one with the problem, she told me. And, you know, I had a couple of sessions and she said, you're not the one with the problem. The females that are actually doing this are the ones with the problem. I mean, I was losing my confidence.
Well, can I ask you then, Linda? After the counselling, when you go back into the workplace, did you feel then like the insults or whatever they were saying, that sort of bounced off you? You were armoured in some way?
No, because I decided to leave.
Oh, okay,
fair enough. I set up my own business and I have been in my own business for 12 years.
Well, good for you. Thanks for calling, Linda.
Yeah.
See you
okay,
later.
Then.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
We're very creative on the text messages. Coming up to 9 minutes to 4, 774 ABC Melbourne. Sally's texted in. Is this a discussion about how Julia and Wayne should have dealt with Kevin? Great show, Raph. That's from Sally. I suppose Kevin went off and set up his own business in a way, didn't he? Just like Linda. Somebody else texting in. I thought those traits were indicative of the CEOs of the corporate world. They are vampires of Collins Street. There you go. That's someone doesn't like the money-making end of town. As a male teacher, I often have to deal with anti-male stereotypes. It hurts us all, including children. You can thank political correctness. That's from someone anonymous. And this is a full-on text. I was bullied during my apprenticeship, including being dragged by the hair. It still bothers me 20 years on. And another text from Steve-O in Ballarat. Raf, it's hard enough to deal with bullies at work, but try to deal with them when it's a family business and the manager is the bully's father and can do no wrong in his eyes. Mm. That's from Steve-O in Ballarat. Mm. That sounds tough, Steve-O. Mm. I got to be honest, Jane, I feel having, you know, everyone's witnessed bullying at school and I've witnessed a bit of harassment in the workplace. Mm. I'm very doubtful that schools or workplaces can make a difference. Isn't this the way that human beings interact? Isn't it actually up to you, what you do in your interactions with the person who's harassing you?
Look, I think fundamentally it's about power And it's always an abuse of power, any kind of bullying,
yes.
whether it's the power of the group or a physical power or the power in a hierarchy.
Yeah.
And misuse of power is always destructive.
Yes.
But having the destructive behaviour recognised and acted upon is, as we've heard this afternoon, a frustrating and disappointing endeavour. And so what you're ultimately left with is your own capacity to respond with dignity, maintain your own self-confidence, your confidence that what you're doing is of value and is of worth.
Yeah.
And that can be a difficult thing to do.
So but that's, I think, and that's clearly where counselling would make a difference, just having somebody to talk about it with.
Yes, and probably seeing who else in the workplace you can confide in and trust, if there is anybody. You probably do need to explore what avenues of assistance are open to you in the workplace. Yeah. But I think, as we've heard today...
You mean whether or not your manager can actually do something?
Or somebody above the manager can do something. One of the things that gets described, especially about women who do this, is they kiss up and kick down. I don't know if you've heard that.
No, I haven't. That's wonderful.
But,
right.
People who are very good at behaving in ingratiating ways to their seniors, but really abusive ways.
Kiss up
ways.
And kick down.
Kiss up and kick down. And it's a particularly destructive thing because you're not believed if you seek help from someone more senior.
Yes, of course.
But I think it's something that workplaces have to continue to take seriously.
Yes.
And setting the climate where every worker is of value really does come from the top.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. Look, thank you for your calls. We'll see if we can get to more of them in a moment. Life and other catastrophes, you can look up this section on the website, 7abc.net.au/Melbourne. That's the homepage for the radio station, 774 ABC Melbourne. And you'll find, either through the Drive program or through its own button, the Life and Other Catastrophes webpage. Look, I've got some really sad text that I would like to read out to you, though. Hi, Raf, how are you? I was hung upside down by a mobile crane and covered in red, white and black paint down to my jocks. Pretty happy about that at the time, being my first week out of school. And look, these are all anonymous. My boss is a mean, angry bully. Sometimes I feel intimidated until I cry. I have also let him know and nothing seems to work. I'll say goodbye, Jane Fisher, but I suppose we should just encourage people to reach out and find someone to talk to.
I think that's very important, and go on endorsing that this is unacceptable behaviour.
So look, it's always about power. See if you can do something about it.